On this Reformation Sunday, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon today? In the Furnace Room, Because Someone Prayed. Our text, Matthew 6, verse 10, which says simply, on earth as it is in heaven. I invite you to find your sermon outline in your worship folder today as we consider our theme in the furnace room, Because Someone Prayed. We continue our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, looking at each part of the prayer as a room in the great house of God. And today we're going to go into a very special room, the furnace room. And we're going into this room to pray. I have a wonderful story I've been eager to share with you about a furnace room. This was not in a house, but in the basement of the first church building I served in as a pastor, brand new right out of school. I was taken to this furnace room, a furnace room that looked a little bit like that, by the church janitor, the man who kept the building clean and kept the furnace running. His name was Jim, and Jim was in his mid-30s. Today, we would say that Jim was a special needs person. Jim had a learning disability. But, oh, Jim was a man of prayer. And one day, he took me to the room in the church he liked to go into to pray without being interrupted. He took me to the furnace room. This small room had in it just two things, a furnace to heat the church building and a single wooden chair. Jim explained that it was there in this furnace room he went on a daily basis to pray for me, to pray for the church, to pray for other people. And Jim told me, I want to quote Jim's words. Jim said, "Pastor, you know I'm not too smart. I don't understand a lot, but I can pray. And I love to go to Jesus to ask Him to help other people." This morning, I'd like you to meet somebody else, a person who went to Jesus to ask Him to help other people. Yes, I'd like you to think about this someone. His name is not important. We don't even know his name. The Bible doesn't tell us. But he is important, not because of who he was, but because of what he did. We meet him in John chapter 11. He went to Jesus on behalf of another friend. This friend of his was sick, sick almost to the point of death. Jesus could help, but someone needed to go to Jesus. So someone went. But because he was asked to go. The request came from two sisters. They needed to stay at their brother's side, but they needed someone to go to Jesus on behalf of them and their brother. They needed a diligent ambassador, an earnest intercessor, someone who would make sure the message was delivered. Not everyone would go. But they entrusted their needs to someone, and this someone went to Jesus. We read about this someone in John 11, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. The sisters, therefore, sent someone to Jesus, saying, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" Someone carried the request. Someone walked the trail. Someone was the intercessor who went to Jesus. And because someone went, Jesus responded. When Jesus heard this prayerful request, he says in verse 4, "This sickness will not end in death. It is for the glory of God that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now, if you know the account of Lazarus in John chapter 11, you know that Lazarus did die, but that Jesus raised Lazarus from death. Lazarus was buried in a tomb. It all seemed hopeless. But as Jesus promised, this sickness did not end in death. This incident did bring glory to God as Jesus' resurrection power over death was demonstrated. And the highlight of this whole text of John 11 is verse 25, a verse you will hear again and again at this place, at a Christian funeral or memorial service. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Here is the heart and soul of the gospel. Here is the heart and soul of our faith today. Here is the heart and soul of what Martin Luther fought for some 500 years ago. He began the Reformation to bring the church back to the heart and the soul of the gospel so that the church could bring this gift to the world. Here is the heart and soul, what it means to be a faithful Lutheran today. Here is the heart and soul of what it means to be a faithful Christian today, to hold dearly onto Jesus' resurrection victory over sin, death, and the devil, and then to pass that good news on to others. John 11:43 tells us, Jesus came to the tomb, cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the text says, he who had died came out. The raising of Lazarus from death brought many to saving faith in Jesus. But the raising of Lazarus from death was just an appetizer of the main course of Jesus' own Easter resurrection victory. Now here's a question for you about prayer and intercession. Would Jesus have gone to Bethany and raised Lazarus if someone had not come to him as a messenger and an intercessor? We cannot say because the text does not say, but this story of Lazarus does give us an example. The power of God was unleashed by intercessory prayer, by someone coming to Jesus on behalf of others. Remember Jim the janitor? "I don't know much, Pastor, but I love to ask Jesus to help others." By someone coming to Jesus, Jesus then looked down the very throat of death and called Lazarus back to life. The will and power of God was done on earth as it is in heaven, because someone prayed. My friends, in the great house of God, picture it in your mind's eye, there is a furnace room. This furnace affects the whole house, and your prayers are the fuel for the furnace. Your intercession is like coal in the fire. Your pleadings are like kindling wood for the flames. The furnace is strong. The vents are open and ready. All that is needed is your prayer, and God is willing to release his power on earth as it is in heaven because someone prayed. The prayers of God's people are important. I can't tell you how many times I've made shut-in calls to our elderly who say, "Pastor," and I wish they'd quit saying this, but they say it, "I'm not good for much anymore, Pastor. I'm old and I can't do a lot, but I can pray. Oh, Lord, have mercy." If more of God's people would pray, the prayer of Jim, the church janitor, were precious to Almighty God as they came to him from a wooden chair in a furnace room. Ephesians 6:18 says this, "With all prayer and petition, Pray at all times in the Spirit and be on the alert with all perseverance and make your petition on behalf of the saints. In the eyes of God, the prayers of His people, the saints, are precious indeed. Now, John the Apostle would agree. John wrote the gospel that bears his name. The Gospel of John that held to the account of Lazarus we talked about earlier. But John wrote so much more. He also wrote a book called The Book of the Revelation. And in this book of Revelation, John declares how precious and how powerful are the prayers of God's people. Listen to what John says in Revelation 1, verse 10. He says, on the Lord's day, that means Sunday, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, that means he was praying. And I heard a loud voice behind me that sounded like a trumpet. It's Sunday. John is in the Spirit. He's praying. Now, this is some 60 years after he wrote the account of Lazarus. John the Apostle is now quite old. He's a white-haired man stepping through the jagged rocks on a beach looking for a flat place in which he can kneel down and pray. He's come to meet with his Lord in his own furnace room of prayer. John is alone on this beach, alone on an island called Patmos. You see, after Jesus' Easter resurrection victory, came great persecution for disciples of Jesus. John was exiled all alone on this island of Patmos, all alone, no fellow believers with him. Listen carefully now to what I'm about to say. The Roman government had Peter crucified. The Roman government had St. Paul beheaded. Now they planned to silence John. They did not want the gospel of God to challenge their own earthly power, so they were hard at work to silence Jesus' earthly messengers. The parallels with Martin Luther are amazing. In Luther's time, some 1,500 years later, it was the power of the church in Rome that tried to silence and muzzle Luther. The powers of Roman Catholicism of that day did not want to be challenged by the clear gospel message that Luther proclaimed. And today, the powers of this sinful world, of sin, death, and the devil, want to silence the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reformation Sunday is a call to each of us and to our church today to remain true to the gospel of Jesus, no matter the cost. Yes, there are evil powers at work today that fight against God's truth and God's people. If you don't know it, wake up and smell the coffee. You are in the midst of spiritual warfare. But here's a truth of Scripture that gives us hope and strength today. And listen carefully, if you've tuned out, now's the time to tune in. God can bring good out of evil. He can take what this sinful world does to his people and make it into something good. God can take the evil schemes of the devil and turn it upside down for his eternal purposes. Genesis 50, verse 20 says it this way, God can use evil for good. In Luther's time, God used the persecution of Luther to spark a reformation, the reformation that set the world ablaze with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before that, in Jesus' time, God used the persecution and even death of Jesus' disciples to spread the gospel. Peter and Paul's deaths and John's exile on the island of Patmos gave depth and strength to believers everywhere, and the church grew. And when the powers of Rome tried to silence John the Apostle by exiling him to an island by himself, God had a plan. God would use this for his eternal purposes on this island. All alone on the Lord's day, John is praying in the furnace room, asking that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what does God do? He grants John a heavenly vision that John then composes into the book of Revelation. And this book of God's victory and power over evil has given hope and strength to God's people for centuries. Just when the powers of evil thought they had silenced Luther, when they had silenced Peter and Paul and John, that God says, just watch me bring good out of evil. Dear people, are you ready for some good news today? Please take this truth to heart. God can bring good out of the evil in your life. He specializes in turning evil into good for his eternal purposes, for your well-being and the well-being of others. Now let's go back with John to the island of Patmos. John has told us in Revelation 1, verse 10, on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard a loud voice behind me that sounded like a trumpet. John is praying in the furnace room, and God gives John a multi-sensory vision of hearing and seeing the glories of heaven. But especially in the first 7 chapters of Revelation, we hear the great glory of heaven. For the first 7 chapters, we see and hear the vision, trumpets sounding, thunder booming, earth quaking, angels singing, and more. But then, chapter 8 begins. Listen carefully now. John writes, when the Lamb, that is Jesus, opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven. An angel came and stood at God's altar holding the golden pan of incense, the prayers of God's people. The smoke from the incense went up from the angel's hand to God with the prayers of God's people. Did you get it? Someone prayed, and every noise in heaven ceased. Someone prayed, and the sounds of heaven were silenced. Jesus, the Lamb, lifts his hand, and all heaven is told to be quiet. Why? Because someone was praying. A mother for her child. A pastor for his church. A doctor for a patient. A counselor for the confused. A friend for their heartbroken acquaintance. A wife for her husband. Someone entered into God's furnace room. Heaven was silenced, and God listened. Now remember that other someone we met earlier? In John chapter 11, the account of Lazarus, he came to Jesus as a prayer intercessor, and he said, Lord, the one you love is sick. Did you hear what he said? He did not say, Lord, the one who loves you is sick. He said, Lord, the one you love is sick. The power of prayer, in other words, does not depend on the person who makes the prayer. The power of prayer depends upon the one who hears the prayer. Lord, the one you love is sick. Our Lord hears the prayer. He silences heaven so he will not miss a word. He hears the prayer, John says in his vision in Revelation chapter 8. And remember back in John chapter 11? When this someone intercessor went to Jesus, verse 4 says, when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. The master heard the request. And Lazarus was not just healed, he was brought forth from the tomb and given victory over death. Someone prayed, and God listened. I'm about to tell you something you don't even need to hear. You know it quite well, but I'll say it anyhow. My friends, today, today, you and I live in a very loud world. To get somebody else's attention is no easy task. Oh, we can call on the phone, send an email, send a text message, do any number of things. But to get someone's attention means they must be willing to set everything else aside to really listen. Today, when someone is really willing to listen to us and to silence everything else to do it, that is a rare privilege. This is why John's message to us is so important. Don't pay attention to the loud voice of the evil world around you or the whisper of the devil in your ear that tells you God has no time for you. God can't listen to your feeble prayers. No, you can talk to God because God listens. Your voice and your prayers in heaven rise as incense, says John, and they matter to Almighty God. My friends, God listens to the painful plea of that elderly saint in the nursing home. He listens to the anxious prayer of the school student. He listens to the confession of the prison inmate. He listens to the petition of the weary pastor, the tired mother, the confused young adult. Ephesians 2:18 tells us, "For through Jesus we have access to the Father, and for Jesus' sake our prayers are heard." Through Jesus you have access into the very furnace room of God. St. John, praying all alone on his island of exile called Patmos, envisions heaven as that place where God's people of God's their prayers rise to God like the smoke of incense. Heaven is silenced. Then in this vision, John says in Revelation 8, verse 5, listen carefully. Then the angel filled the incense pan of prayers from the altar and threw it upon the earth. And there followed crashing thunder, Revelation 8, 5. Incredible. What does that mean? It tells us that your prayers on earth activate God's power in heaven, and he answers like thunder crashing upon the earth. God answers our prayer. Or as the Lord's Prayer says, as Jesus taught us to pray, when we pray, God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. A side note, God answers all the prayers of his people. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. But Father knows best. And he answers our prayers for Jesus' sake. You know, we may not understand the mystery of prayer. We don't need to. This much is clear. When you pray, your Lord hears. When your Lord hears, thunder happens. He answers. Thank you, Jim the janitor, for teaching a pastor to go to the furnace room to pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for welcoming all of us into your furnace room to pray. For in that furnace room, we will discover, O Lord, your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, Amen. Amen.